First, let me begin by saying it's great to be a Detroit Lion. I believe the time is now. Not 2 years or 3 years from now, down the road somewhere, but right here, right now.
He dives in for the touchdown. Did he get it? Yes, sir, he did. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. Matthew Tony Pollard. And the Lions have taken the lead with 12 seconds to go.
There's one goal here and one promise I made to Mrs. Ford. Is winning. If we can get one step better every day, that's putting this organization in the right direction.
Matthews got it. Gives to Abdullah right side. Got a hole. Abdullah 20. Abdullah 10. Shakes the man at the 8. And dances into the end zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions.
Lions fans. It's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The Detroit Lions Podcast. Post game show. With your hosts, Chris and Case.
Hey, howdy-ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast. This is the live post-game show. This is the official Detroit Lions Podcast for Reddit. I am your dashing, amazing host, Chris. And with me is my good friend and co-host, Case. Oh, scratch that. We've got somebody else here with us today. Punk rockin' Trev. Trev, how you doing, my man?
Good. I'm just resuscitating myself from my latest heart attack.
Well, I got the paddles here. If you need them, just holler and we'll get that thing restarted, man. What a game. There's a lot to talk about. There's some good, there's some bad, and there's a whole lot of ugly along with it. It was a crazy game out there. Sandman was going to join us this week, but he's unfortunately on the road. He had some other things pressing that he had to do, so he'll be back next away game. Trev is always a great guy to help fill in, and he does a great job on the show. So we love it when we've got Trev, too. Anyway, like I said, we got a lot to talk about. We're going to do our roundtable discussion, and then we'll take your calls live. Trev, you ready to go, my man?
Like Mitch Trubisky to the titty bar.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right, I might follow a biscuit on that one. I don't know. All right, a couple of quick announcements. Make sure to check us out and help us out on the Patreon. Special thanks to Dylan from
Guam.
That's right. Michael, Matt, Eric, Joel the Muff, and Joel not the Muff Muncher. Nick Noodle, Jeffrey, Brendan, Benjamin, Justin, John Ross, Matthew Morgan, Alex D, and Peter, Randy, Mac G, Kalen, Scott, Greg, Lucas, David, Richard, Bryce, Chuck Nasty, Fight Me Case, Mike K, Floundericious, Ryan, Zach, Gina, Miak, Malcolm, Dan, Gary, Peter, Von Panda, Skylar, Mario, Lucas, Tim, and of course, our very, very first donor, Mathis. We also want to call out our newest patrons, Nicholas, Jesse, P.O., Jason, Ryan, and Brian B., the lead singer from I Prevail at iPrevail.com. Check them out. They're on tour now. Great, great show. One you don't want to miss. And just as a thing for our Patreon people, don't forget, we're releasing special additive content just as a thanks to them. Again, you don't miss out on anything in the podcast. It's not that we're cutting anything. We're actually creating new content as a thank you for the folks that help us out on Patreon. So you can go to patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast or just go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and click on the Patreon link. And if you give as little as a dollar a month, you'll have full access to that content. And you'll be able to listen to some of the silly stuff we do on the sidelines. And we're working through a couple of technical pieces right now, but we're going to be adding some cameras and some other stuff to the show for those Patreon people to take advantage of as well. They're very, very helpful, and we really appreciate everyone who helps us out, so we want to take care of them as best we can. Don't forget to give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, and, of course, on the Tweeter Maker machine, @DETLionsPodcast, @DETLionsPodcast. It is the very best place to see Trev.
Sin pantalones.
Oh, beautiful. Rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you find us. We love your reviews. Helps people know what they're getting into. Please do that 5-star review and say something nice when you're there. We greatly appreciate it. And all right, we're going to be taking your calls very, very shortly. Got a lot to talk about. First, we're going to break the show down from our own perspective.
This is no time for a quick release. We're going deep.
All right. Yes, we're going deep. It's time to do a quick roundtable discussion between Trev and I. Trev, you said it, man. Pants free in English or Spanish, it doesn't matter. It was a rough game. I mean, those pants were on, they were off, they were on, they were off. There was rage, there was happiness, there was anger. I retweeted a clip of Tahir Whitehead looking like he was just the guy said he looked like he realized he left the garage door open because he just took off the wrong way. Not to talk about. So I'll tell you what, I'll just kind of hand it over to you and let you break down what you saw and some of your thoughts right now.
Yeah. So again, we saw the Lions today kind of, we've talked about it before, just play to the level of their competition. We can't run away with one. It just doesn't seem like it's within our grasp. And part of that is the inability of our front seven to stop the run.
Yeah.
We really saw the playbook that Chicago put together this week. It was a lot of play fakes and a lot of kind of read options for Mitch Trubisky. And our front seven is young and looks young, and they bite on all of those fakes. The amount of times we saw Anthony Zettel miss his contain assignments on the outside and get faked out to the outside. We're watching our linebackers, especially Jared Davis. He did not have a good game today. Watching him flow to a fake and missing the initial attack.
It was like a school of fish biting at fake bait.
Yeah, and some of that I think is them being young. And they need more experience to really come along and read those plays correctly. But I think that's going to be a problem for us this year going forward until we can either beef up the defensive line through the draft or maybe just have some intense coaching around how to suck up a play fake.
Yeah. So. Yeah. You nailed it. And they would, it was like everybody bit. There's that. There's an inability to keep contain. And let's be fair. The Bears did something in offense they haven't done all year, and that was played to Trubisky's strengths. They didn't ask him. He wound up in situations where he had to do things that he's not good at, but they tried not to put him in those situations. The other part is it's always difficult to win on the road in the NFL. That's just the way the game is, especially against a division opponent. We've talked about it. Both the Bears and the Vikings have done a really, really good job of building teams to compete inside the division and give everybody within the division a hard time. Green Bay lost today, so that was great. But those Vikings won today, and they definitely do look pretty good out there. They're not as bumbling as I thought maybe they were.
Yeah, we kind of saw their carousel at quarterback happening.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, all right, we finally have a weakness on the Vikings we can attack. They're great on defense. We're not going to put up a bunch of points on them. It's just how their defense is. And Case Keenum has come out of the gate looking so good. We're not going to dance past the Vikings. It's going to be tough. If we want to win the division, we need to win that game next week.
And I'm just going to give anyone advice. If you meet anyone named Case, just automatically hate him. yeah, Keenum is much better than I ever thought he was. We talked about the Lions being ugly or ugly, being lucky with turnovers early this year. And the turnover game it turned into a touchdown today on that bad snap. And it continues. I don't know. I'm starting to think that maybe this is just a team that does get the luck of the draw in turnovers. Maybe they force them. Maybe they play differently to make that happen. It's very similar to Case Keenum out there. You know, for a long time, thought he was really, really lucky and not that good. Maybe he just is as good as he has been, right? Maybe that is just the way it is.
But, yeah. I saw a stat come up on the broadcast today that compared his numbers over the past few weeks to Tom Brady's numbers, and they weren't that far off. So the last thing we need is another damn Aaron Rodgers in this division. But something to think about from today's game is that DJ Hayden had that amazing fumble recovery for a touchdown, but we got our offense was outscored by the Bears' Mitch Trubisky offense. That is something scary to think about. And it'd be interesting to think like back over the last few games and see how many games our offense has actually outscored the offense of the other team. And because we're always winning by a defensive touchdown, it seems.
Yeah.
And it's kind of disheartening to see that. You would think that this offense – should be able to stack up points on people. And we just are always scoring just enough points to win, or in some cases, just enough to lose. But
yeah, a couple of things out of the chat here that I think are worth mentioning. First, we got Ash Thompson, one of the writers from the podcast. He's defensive MVP today, the Chicago Bears offense. I agree 100%. Also, Jiggly Scrub, he has a great point. He doesn't think we would have won in OT, and I kind of agree with him. The way that we were beaten by Jordan Howard throughout the end of the fourth there, it just looked like he owned us at that point. He just tanked our defense and tore us up. I think the momentum was not on our side, and that shanked kick saved our bacon, I think, besides just the clock running out, right?
Yeah, sometimes you see, like, in a football game, it's like a ball rolling down the hill, and Chicago and Jordan Howard were rolling down the hill. If they wouldn't have blasted that awful field goal so far right, it was amazing. I couldn't believe how bad he shanked that.
So, but from a fantasy perspective in the in our podcast league, I have to say that this game went really, really well for me. I'm supposed to win. I get like a 76% chance of winning. I'm still in first place. Just so everyone knows, alone in first place. And this is a Champions League because I'm a champion. But I had Howard as one of my running backs, and I needed him to do really, really well. But I needed us to do just a little bit better, and I was willing to sacrifice my fantasy team for the Lions. But it actually worked out as good as it could have for me to get the Lions win and the running back points that I wanted.
Yeah, it's really interesting to look at this game and see where our running game is versus what the Bears are doing in their running game.
Yep.
I'm not saying we're going to be a run first team ever, maybe ever, while Matthew Stafford's our quarterback. But we just cannot run the ball. It's almost embarrassing. Like some of the better runs were Theoretic had a nice tough run.
Yep.
But we're not going to slice people up. We're going to take three or four negative plays and then maybe get one positive run.
Yep.
So I don't even know. It's almost like it's not worth it at this point. Like, just sling the ball, because that's what we do well.
Yeah.
But at the same time, then you get the defense dropping eight.
Yeah, you've been facing dime packages all day, or double dimes. Hey, yep. Back to the chat, we got Levi, longtime friend of the show. Love when he calls. He said Trubisky reminds him of Tyrod Taylor. Strong arm, runs well, but he can only do a single read. And that's true, because he didn't seem – I mean, we did pressure, but it wasn't crazy pressure back there today. He doesn't react well to pressure either, but that one read, and he starts freaking out, and he starts running. I mean, that's – I think Levi's pretty good with his thing there.
He's got some happy feet, and that's something that we should – I mean, I think he'll develop past that, and we need to – be more worried about him than I thought we should be originally when they drafted him.
Yeah.
When they drafted him, I laughed out loud.
Yeah, so did I. That team, when healthy, has a hell of a lot of talent. And there's something in the long term in the division that we can worry about. And if John Fox goes this week, this year, it could get pretty ugly.
They also seem to clone Theo Riddick and put Cohen on the back of his jersey.
Yeah. Wings fan one. He's my plus one for the Bucks game, by the way. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. He talked about how Howard tore us apart for sure. John Mayfield. Riddick seems to have vision. Maybe he needs to be starting and getting more touches. I was thinking exactly the same thing. He was able to move. I love Amir Abdullah. I really do. But I'm wondering if that Liz Frank that he got in the offseason, as well as he was able to recover from it. He seems a little slower. And then, you know, look, he had that amazing spin move out there, right? It was freaking crazy, but he just doesn't seem to have that quickness that he used to have. He doesn't seem to have that ability to cut the way he used to. He's just not, I don't want to say he's lost a step, but maybe a half a step.
Yeah, I think that's, you hit the nail on the head. He doesn't have that quick cut anymore. And like when he came back, I was like, wow, he looks pretty good for having gone through a Liz Frank.
Yeah.
And then you go back and watch highlight tapes from like a year or two ago, and like that one game in San Diego where he juked Weddle out of his pants, like he and scored a touchdown. Like that was awesome. And he's like, he doesn't quite have that anymore.
No.
And it's something to definitely watch out for. He's not quite the same back as he used to be.
Yep, yep, exactly right. All right, a lot of good stuff. Neil Jones, do you think that Nada or Ansa was missed more in the run defense? I think we've missed Ansa all year, and I think Nada was really looking good out there until he got hurt. I miss Helody a lot. I think he's a key piece in the middle of that line that we're just missing and unable to really shore up. And a defensive end, we're kind of a mess too, right? I mean, either way, it's a wreck up there.
I mean, going into this season, our defensive line was really beefy. Like, A'shaun Robinson is a huge dude. Helody Nada is a big dude. And they're athletic. And that I mean, they're all football players, so they're all athletic. But for their size, they can really move. And since then, they've gone down, and since it's a blank on his name, defensive end.
Zettle?
Kerry Hyder.
Hyder,
yeah. Ever since Kerry Hyder went out. So we're missing, like, from the beginning of the year, we're missing three starters off of our defensive line. And it really shows when we're trying to defend the run, because Ziggy might not be the same Ziggy we knew a while ago in the pass rush, but he's still a competent run defender. And he knows how to set the edge and turn it back inside. And we kind of got burned on that today because we were biting on play fakes and letting Jordan Howard hit us in the interior on the flank.
Yeah, and the interior, he was hitting us at all.
Yeah,
he's putting it everywhere. Yeah, it was tough. But yeah, all right. Well, I'll tell you what. Really quick, let's open up for calls. Quick, I do want to talk a little bit about Amazon for you guys. Don't forget, when you do your Christmas or holiday shopping or whatever you're going to get, right? Head on over to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and use that shop link up in the main menu and click on Amazon if you're going to go buy anything from Amazon. And who doesn't use Amazon? I mean, that's the only place I shop anymore. Use that link that we have on our site to get yourself there. They give us credit for it. It never costs you anything. It's an extra click, but they give us credit and give us a kickback based on the amount of sales we have. And that helps us out a lot. So anybody that's going out and doing their shopping for the holidays this year, head on over to DetroitLionsPodcast.com, click on that shop link, and it pops up with a go to Amazon. No funny pop-up windows or anything. It's just a quick menu thing, extra click, and it gets you there just like your normal shopping experience. And we appreciate all you folks that are doing that. It helps us out a great, great deal. Again, DetroitLionsPodcast.com, click on that shop link anytime you're thinking of going to Amazon. All right, we got a call coming in right now. Let's pick it up. Hey, caller, how you doing? What's your name?
Brett.
Brett, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, man. It's still got the Heartstopper special. You know, it's part and parcel of being a Lions fan.
Yeah, that made the Browns game look like a cakewalk.
It did.
I can't believe they... I mean, well, the first quarter was exactly the same as the Browns game. We, you know, down 10-0, offense couldn't do anything. The defense was like giving everything up. So I was very, very concerned, but they kind of got things together.
I think it started to fall apart at the end. They just held on. I mean, the clock is what saved the day. A clock and a bad kick.
Bad kick. Yes. I mean, that thing was like that dude. Good kick, good hold, or I'm sorry, good snap, good hold, and then ultimate shank. I could not believe how bad that kick was.
That was like the win at Lambeau, right? Where Crosby just, it was that bad. Yeah. And I was telling Trev before the show, I don't know why. I mean, I was sitting there nail biting. I'm not going to say I was sitting there with confidence, right? I was like, holy shit, this is all coming unraveled. But I had this kind of zen feeling. In the back of my mind, I just know he's going to miss this. And I don't know why. I thought that or knew that, and he did, and I was like, yeah, I knew it, yeah. You know, it's just my boy was with me. We both blew up, jumping up and down, holding.
Yeah, I was exactly there with you, and I might have thought it was all the beer I was drinking at the time. but before the snap, I'm like, there's no way this guy's going to make this, even though it was a very makeable field goal. The big thing.
I was just going to say, isn't it a very precarious position to be in as a Lions fan that you're expecting us to win?
You know, when I expect to win, we have these nail biters, and then when it's like, well, you know, probably more last year when it's like, you know, oh, there's like no way, and then we pull these, you know, fourth quarter comebacks out of our ass, which, you know, even though Stafford's still been good in the fourth quarter, he's not been what he was last year, where he owned the fourth quarter.
Right. And, well, you know, I think Galladay helps. I think a lot of that in the midseason, we didn't see it because Galladay was out, and we rely on him to open the field up for Ebron and Marvin Jones. Because let's face it, Marvin Jones is not a separation guy, right? It's a sad spot for him to be. It's his weakness as a wide receiver. And the other part of it is...
He hits those contested catches, though.
Yeah.
But you're right. He should have separation on a lot of this stuff down the field.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so I just, I don't know. I think when you've got to pull that many games out of your ass, no one's ass is as big as the as many as we pulled out, right? I mean, it's just.
Yeah.
I would also say that, like, Stafford, he hasn't been quite as on the money all the time as he usually is. Like, there was a few passes today. He threw one behind Tate that almost got intercepted. I think I was trying to count, but I think he threw like three or four balls that went right through defenders' hands. And if a couple of those guys closed their arms and got that ball.
And to be honest with you, I have to give credit where credit is due, but there was one pass that he threw behind Ebron. And Ebron was able to twist around and come back and get. I can't remember when it happened, but I was definitely impressed compared to how that guy usually deals with balls that aren't put exactly perfectly where he needs them to be.
He actually had a good game.
Yep. I've been tweeting every time he makes a catch lately. I've been tweeting a unicorn, and I'm actually after the last couple of weeks, he's stepped up here. I'm like ready to turn it into a horse.
So
hopefully you can turn it into a goat.
Right. Oh, you know when that's going to happen is when he's on the fucking Patriots or whatever, right? That's
when
the Kyle Van Noy special.
Oh man. Well,
yeah.
Hey, Brian.
I totally agree.
We're going to let you go, man. We're going to open up the phones, let some other folks on. Thanks a lot for calling, dude. Thanks for listening.
Hey, no problem. Appreciate you. Cool.
All right, man. Be good. All right, so we'll go throw the number out there. Brett, he was calling in early, so he had a heads up on that. Go ahead and give us a ring. Area code 248-782-8384. That's 248-782-8384. Or you can hook us up on via Skype. The Skype number is Detroit Lions Podcast. It's all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast. And you may have noticed I picked up the line there. How you doing, caller? What's your name?
Hey, how you guys doing, man? My name's Roger.
Hey, Roger. How you doing?
Hey, Roger.
Man, I want to know what you guys think about us doing more, like, two running back sets. Like, having Theo and Amir on the field at the same time and kind of opening up the playbook in that way. Because I wish I saw it more because they're both really good, but I never do.
You want to go first, Trevor? You want me to?
I
have a thought on it.
I was just going to say, you're right. We don't see it very often, if at all. We're always running from a pistol or a single back set or the gun. So yeah, I think that's a great idea. We need to get some, our receivers to head downfield on some go routes to clear out some space. But anytime you can get those two guys out in the flat with some blockers, then they have a chance to make a play.
At least protect Stafford, because he's been getting sacked like four or five times every game. I mean, yeah. Something's got to be done about that because he's limping and we're going to play in 4 days.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you think he's going to play then? He hasn't really scrambled that much recently either. I mean, he's kind of, you know, he's toughing it out as he usually does, but still.
Yeah. That
kind of don't want to see that.
That extra blocker in there. I mean, so we saw the good and the bad in Zach Center out there today, right? He missed a block and we took a pretty bad sack. And then he stood up and got those pads down and did a great block later in the game and kind of showed that he has the skills. He just got beat that one time and people get beat, right? That's just part of the game because you're all professionals. You're all top athletes at your position. No one's perfect out there, but you're right. Stafford's got to recover in 4 days and his hip got hurt early and you didn't see him moving, you know, running as fast as he had been. He wasn't as prone to run as he had been. You could tell that was bothering him, and the way he landed on that hip, I'm like, he's gonna have a big old bruise right there. That one's gonna hurt. I think the two back set just for blocking is a great idea. And you're right. When you get Riddick and Abdullah back there, you put Abdullah out to catch to catch the ball, and you keep Riddick back to block, right? That's kind of like having the Agnew piece where, you know, the trickeration kind of play. Everyone keys on Riddick as a receiver. So you can start switching things up. They did the two-back set a few times this year, and they weren't successful in it, and they gave up on it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a mistake. I think that's a key set for this team and really would give them an opportunity to just kill it out there and open up that offense, as well as get extra blocking for Stafford. Like I said, they tried it earlier, and it didn't work well, and that bummed me out that they went away from it, because I think it's a needed piece of this offense.
Yeah, because you can really open up the field with that. I mean, they work so good in space.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's one thing they never get. And I'm just still stunned at how bad this line was. Taylor Decker was not spectacular today. We have running backs that have the highest or second highest. They're very, you know, one of the tops in the league at yards after initial contact. And it's because they're always getting contacted in the backfield. It's just horrible. Yeah. These guys just do not have an opportunity to get moving. And you have to run the ball. You can't go to a straight pass. But you could certainly start putting these guys in space, little dump offs. Use the space. Use Stafford's arm to get these guys some room to move. Because running us straight up the line, I mean, Theo ran between the tackles a couple times today pretty well. But otherwise, there's just not a lot going on there. There's just nothing happening. And we've got to do something about getting those guys in space and getting them some yards.
We've invested a whole lot in that offensive line, and I don't really know why it's not working. Clearly the talent is there. But I think one thing I wanted to say just from today's game and the last couple games in general is that some of it's on Stafford. He's had some issues with just pocket awareness. He'll take a sack instead of throwing it out of bounds when he needs to. He's loose with the football, which has caused turnovers. And so a lot of it's on the line, but some of it is on Stafford as well. And he needs to he can't run outside of his tackle and then expect them to block because they're on the wrong side of the defender. So I think it's not all the line, but we definitely need to get more from our line after how much we invested in it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. We're not seeing the production that we need out of those guys, and it really is. There's two ways, and I don't want to say I'd be okay with the running game not improving if Stafford was not being murdered every week, but I wouldn't be okay with just one, right? But I think the key piece is, I mean, look, that line is going to go up on manslaughter charges if they don't get their shit together, because Stafford is just not going to survive back there. He's gotten beaten up this year. I feel terrible for this guy, right? I really, really like Matthew Stafford. Everything I see and hear about him as a person, the stuff he does outside of the game and in the stuff he does in the game and his heart and what he gives the city and what he gives to the team. I mean, I really, really like this guy, and we are just assassinating him back there. We're killing him, and it's horrible. This is absolutely ludicrous that you would take the highest paid guy in the game and just hang him out there to be destroyed. It's insane to me. He's had probably the hardest career of any player that's come into the NFL since he's been drafted. He's been on such a crappy team with crappy GMs and crappy players and it drives me nuts, right? This guy, he could easily be a household name like a Brady or a Manning, right? It, on the right team with the right talent surrounding him. And we've just screwed him for so many years. I hate now at 29 years old, when he's really found his peak and his performance top, that he's getting murdered back there because we can't protect him. It drives me insane. This guy should be unleashing hell on the competition right now.
And I mean, the man's got kids now, like, but they, you're right. And it's not just this year. I think he's on pace to be the highest sacked quarterback in the league this year, but over the past 2 years, he's taken over 40 sacks. So in the space of 3 years, he might be looking at like 140 sack stretch, which is not a good way to, it's a good thing he's tough, but it's not a, you know, it's not a matter of if, but when is if we let him get hit this much. You know, it's like knock on wood, but he can't keep taking all his hits from defensive ends and they expect to be healthy.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. All right. Hey, caller, thanks a lot for calling, man. We're going to open up. We got a bunch of people trying to get in, and we want to make sure.
All right, man. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, thanks for calling. Really appreciate it, bud.
Nice.
Have a turkey. Have a good turkey day. All right. So, got another caller already. Let's just pop him in there. Hey, caller, how you doing? What's your name?
Hey, Morgan.
Morgan, what's going on, my man?
What's going on, guys? I have a few, you know, just little knee-jerk reactions.
Those are the best kind.
Glad to win a tough game. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, have you been drinking today?
A little bit.
Okay, no,
a
that's
little
good.
Bit, yeah.
I keep forgetting to ask, and I think that's an important part of our conversations, is just to kind of get a – it's okay to be – not sober, right? I mean, I mean,
you kind of have to.
I'm on my right, second Jager bomb like, here, right? I mean, you kind of have to.
No, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I was just saying, it's just good to see where we're at when we have someone on, because sometimes, you know, a guy's a couple sheets to the wind and we're like taking him serious.
I'm not three sheets to the wind. I'm like maybe one.
Okay,
I have some homework to do later. I'm a
oh, yeah.
student, so I was like, man, I really, but then the game was closer than I wanted it to be. So I ended up, you know, having like five or six, but yeah. I'm good. I'm a large man. So I'm okay.
That's cool. Where are you going to school?
I'm transferring to Eastern Michigan. I'm actually moving back up to Detroit here in like 1 week, actually. So I'm actually pretty stoked about that.
The Eagles.
I was in the military and whatnot. So baby, EMU Eagles.
Hey, thank you very much for your service, by the way, for your military service.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that.
No problem.
I'm not saying that as a jag. I really do appreciate you guys doing that. Since I've moved, I've seen a whole lot more appreciation. We have a lot more military families around where I'm at now, and it's really cool to kind of see what people get and how people really do and can appreciate the service of folks like you. And just want to make sure, like, when we get a chance, we do call it out and say thanks, because it means a lot. But so you're moving up now. You're in Eagles. You're not going to go back to the old days of the Eastern Hurons. You're with the Eagles thing here now.
I guess I'm with the Eagles. I don't know. I'm going to follow TJ Lang's suit, and I look to him for a lot of EMU guidance.
I don't know if they were the Eastern Michigan Hurons when he played there. I have to look that up. Damn it!
I don't actually.
I've been
in
Hurons for a long time.
Yeah, I'm old, right?
I have no idea. I have no idea, to be honest with you. I just know me and my brother, like, we joke around all the time. We're like, yeah, baby, EMU Eagles. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
they have a great golf course there, by the way. No, I'm belaboring the point. Okay. I'm sorry.
It's all good. Oh,
so
yeah, I think. So I, you know, I'm happy to get a win. You know, on the road against a division opponent. I knew it was going to be tough. It was windy. But you know, we, like you guys said, we invested a ton of money into the line. You know, I think we have, you know, good pieces on the line. But I think at some point, you look at these teams now that can run the ball consistently well. They have difference makers back there. Whether it's you know, Elliott and Dallas, you got Kareem Hunt in Kansas City, you have, you know, and so on and so forth. I think we really, like, pass to defensive line, because I'm not going to, you know, that's got to be the biggest, that's got to be number one, you know, going into the offseason is having an athlete. That Trubisky scramble, me and my dad are sitting here freaking out, because I was like, holy crap, man, we have no athletes when Ziggy's not on the field. Like, Trubisky's not a burner. I mean, he's, you know, fairly athletic by, you know, normal standards, but for him to mosey around like he did there and pick up that first down was crazy to me.
Really quick, if you get a chance, check out the Detroit Lions podcast Twitter. I retweeted a video of that and of his scramble. And I'm saying it again, but the guy who originally put the video together said it looked like he suddenly realized he left the garage door open, because he's there, he's covering the middle, and all of a sudden he just turns and runs diagonally towards the sideline. Like, he's like there was nobody there. He was like running an open space away from the play. I was like, what in holy hell are you doing? And Trubisky ran right through there.
I saw that too.
Oh God. I was like,
yeah, I saw that. I think that has to be, you know, I'm nervous for, I think we have to stop the run. I'm still not a Case Keenum believer. I still think Case Keenum is Case Keenum.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, I think we have to put 7-8 in the box and be like, all right, Case Keenum, if you want to be, you know, we have a pretty good secondary now, and that's still strange coming out of my mouth. but you know, we have a good secondary. So, I mean, let's try to stop the run and have Case Keenum beat Darius Slay and beat Quandre Diggs. And, you know, let's see. I don't know. That's just the way I'm thinking already. I know it's Sunday evening, but I really don't want to do homework, and I'm already thinking about Thursday. So
yeah,
that's where I'm at right now.
Thursday's coming fast. I was at last year's game, played Minnesota last year too, and it got the deal got sealed with interception from Slay. I'll never forget launching myself through the roof of Ford Field, and I jumped to my feet. It was spectacular, but I feel like it's going to be that kind of a game again. It's either going to be really close, or they're going to run away with it. I just don't see the Lions running away with this game against the Vikings. Mm-hmm. The good news is we've get them at home, and if we can beat them, though, that's two games. That's two games we beat them on this year, and that is huge for us with the tiebreaker.
Yeah, I think absolutely. It's going to be low-scoring slugfest for that one.
I think so, too. Yeah, I think so, too. I don't think they're going to lighten it. Like, I don't know if L.A. – I didn't watch much of that game, obviously, because we were playing at 1. I wish it was at 4 so I could have watched some of it, but I don't see them. I don't know. I just don't see it. Hopefully we can figure something out. I do agree. I know some of the people in the comments are talking about how big losing Helody and Ziggy was. I think that's huge because, yes, Ziggy hasn't been like 2014 Ziggy, but he's still better than, Valaloga. I can't say his name. Yeah, he made some bonehead plays like that, hitting Trubisky low. That was stupid. And then him and Zettel both just crashing down the line. For no good reason,
Stay
in containment.
Yeah, over pursuit.
Yeah, exactly.
It's crazy. And I mean, with that kind of pursuit, a lot of times, it plays well. But when you do with a lot of misdirection out of the Bears today, just a ton. Trev opened with, man, we bit, and it was weird. It was like watching a whole school of fish bite on the fake, and at the same time when they're 5 steps behind the plane play realizing it and trying to flow back the other way, it was like, what in the world is happening? Every one of you is fooled. What happened?
Well, another
really
thing
did.
That
happened to, like, yeah,
another thing that really hurts us with our poor defensive line is not only just the run, but we're not getting good pass rush either. Like, it's basically non-existent. And because of that, I've noticed that Terrell Austin's adjustment is to walk up a strong safety into the box and blitz them to try to get some pass rush going. And for us, if we're playing against a team that has more dimensions than the Bears, then they're going to see that as an opportunity to throw the ball down the field because we don't have as much safety help. So. It's kind of like we're sticking a band-aid on the defensive line at the expense of putting more pressure on our secondary, which is okay because our secondary is good. But that's just another thing that a good team will pick us apart on.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. It's going to be scary when we play a complete team that can, we'll see. I don't know. Hopefully we can figure something out, but maybe Ziggy can come back and get some pressure off the edge. I don't know. I'm hoping for something like that. But,
well, hopefully we want to play a complete team until the playoffs.
Yeah, right. Yeah. We'll worry about that. Future problems. Let's just worry about the current. I agree. I like that. I like that take.
All right, man. Hey, again, thanks a lot for your service. Best of luck at Eastern, man. Go knock them dead, and we're gonna let you go here and grab another call. Okay.
Sounds good, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks, man. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening.
All right.
Got another caller here. We're gonna put him right in, and we're waiting for him. Oh, there we are. Hey, caller, how you doing? What's your name?
Hey, this is Ultimate Lions.
Ultimate Lions from Twitter. How you doing, man?
Not too bad. How are you guys?
Doing all right. You pinged me on the Tweeter Maker and said you wanted to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving, and that's probably good. With the way today was and some of the heart-stopping action, it's probably good to kind of take a look ahead, see what we're facing.
Exactly. I mean,
this Minnesota team didn't look too shabby today out there against the God. Yeah, they didn't look too bad out there today. They took the win, and that's not what I was hoping and expecting for at all.
I don't think any of us were, but a couple of things that I kind of wanted to get out there was that I want to kind of disagree with the last caller here, just thinking that this game is not going to be a low-scoring game. I think that Stafford is on a run right now. In the last three games, actually, my four games, 423 yards, 361, 249, 299. Like, I think Stafford is just on a hot run right now. I don't think the Vikings have beat anybody good. And their best win is against the Saints, and that's when the Saints went a drought. So I just, the Lions have won four straight Thanksgiving games. It's just, when I look at the Lions team right now, they have troubles running the ball. They have troubles stopping the run, but exactly kind of like the last caller, Case Keenum, I'm not scared of. I'm zero bit scared of Case Keenum, especially against going against our defense that's playing fairly well against the pass. If they're going to try and run the ball, I think we can stack the box and really do something against the Vikings on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting, though, and this is a real typical Lions flip the script kind of thing. Our record is worse at home than it is on the road.
Yeah, and I mean, our road win against the Vikings, who are beating good teams, I mean, the Rams and the Saints at home, they can't beat us at home. I just do not see them coming in Ford Field and being able to beat the Vikings or the Lions on their road.
You know, where I worry about, and we touched on this a little bit, but we didn't talk about it specific to the Vikings. I worry about that that front seven from Minnesota and what they can do to our line and when they get through to Stafford. They're a brutal bunch, and they can mess a boy up. I think that they've got to think, the Lions have to think about, how are we going to get rid of this ball quickly if they're going to use the pressure and play the pressure game on defense. We've got to get them, same thing the Bears did to us today, right? That over pursuit. If they're going to over pursue, and let's make them break contain, and let's take them on the outside, or let's do some quick passes to get them to fall back and get out of Stafford's face, because otherwise, this is the game where I feel like, especially with as brutal as their front seven is, this is a game that Stafford could get seriously injured in.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's a positive sign for their offensive line out there again this week, and they're healthy for the first time. I think it's great to see them come out healthy, too, because I agree with you that Vikings' front line there is very devastating if they can get to Stafford. One thing I did notice today is that Brian Robinson, their defensive end, did suffer a before game injury. I haven't heard anything else on that. So he's usually a pass rusher, but if it comes down to it, I think that quick ball or the quick game ball, what the Lions can do with Golden Tate, is kind of what we didn't see this week. Golden Tate has burned the Vikings last few. I mean, game winning touchdowns and whatnot. I think that I don't want to put a bunch of money on it, but I just think the Lions come out and prove that they're a better team than the Vikings next week.
I think that one thing we could hope for is that this game turns into a fast-paced track meet, and that it turns into a shootout, because if it comes down to a clock grinding, low score game, then their rushing attack is going to eat us alive. They have two pretty good backs, a good offensive line, and they'll be able to run the clock out if we get down early. What's really happened that's been terrible to us in the past couple weeks is that our offense is like it's this big beast of a machine that needs a couple warm-up laps to get going. But once it gets going, it looks great. But we have not had good first quarters this whole season on offense. And if we get down a couple scores to the Vikings, then we're in trouble. They'll be able to run the ball through our Swiss cheese defensive line and just own the clock and beat us. I don't know if that means that Jim Bob Cooter and Jim Caldwell are going to take the chains off and let Stafford huck the ball up more, but if they want to play a calculated possession time of possession kick type of game, then they might be in for a big surprise, because I think that's not going to work this time against the Vikings.
Yeah. Well, the one thing that I'm just sitting and waiting for is that Brad Davis it seems like a step away from making plays. It seems like he's so close to gathering his experience he's a rookie. He's getting that experience. It seems like he's one step away of getting those plays. He's missing tackles right now. He's right there in coverage. It just seems like once he takes that step and he's stopping those plays, I feel like there's just not a team that's really going to be able to drive the ball on us, because Tahir Whitehead's where he's supposed to be at. You saw him when he was in the linebacking spot. He's just not that player. I think now that Jared Davis is getting so close that, I mean, where a team's going to go on us when they can't pass on us, they can't get those plays that Jared Davis should be stopping. I just see that really come into peace once Jared Davis is able to step up and kind of take control of what he's doing and become that better player, that next step up to where we are even more of a better defense. So it's just when you look at the Vikings, they're not beating good teams. I mean, they're beating teams that we easily can beat. And when they do win by a lot, the other team is putting up a bunch of points too, which Stafford can do. It's just if we shut the Vikings out, I don't see us having any troubles with them.
Yeah, I think Jared Davis looks like a rookie because he is a rookie. He took on a lot of responsibility going straight into the middle linebacker spot on this defense. And any of us who expected him to be a Pro Bowler right out of the gate, I bet I'd pump our brakes a little bit. But you're right. He is like one step behind. And that's, I think it's something he'll learn and grow into. But yeah, I've noticed that he had a bad game a couple weeks ago. And since then, he's kind of got those rookie shakes. Like he's always looking over his shoulder and afraid to do the wrong thing instead of trusting his instincts. And I think that if that's something he can kind of work out of his game, then it'll be good for the team.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that play in zone today, they were talking about, I think it was Chris Berman saying that he's right there. He's playing the zone right. He just doesn't have that conscience that, hey, there's a tight end right behind me or there's a receiver right behind me that if I take one step to the right, I kick the ball off, and that's huge play for the Lions.
Yeah, I think the only way Davis is going to get better is with more snaps. And we've said it before, and we were just talking about this in the live chat even. He's playing like Whitehead did last year, except he's way more athletic, right? So we don't have an upgrade. This guy's ceiling is so much higher. The only way he's going to get a shot at getting to that ceiling and improving is by taking these snaps. This is a year. This was, you know, year two of Bob Quinn. And I always kind of said, I mapped it out when he first came in, we first started seeing his moves. It was, you know, year three under Quinn, this team is really going to be competitive. Year one was really, really kind of impressive to me, right? I was like, wow, they made a quick turn. I still believe that this is the year they're going to win a playoff game. I just think that they're going to do it this year, and then they'll probably be blown out in the second game in the playoffs. End of story. That's that. But next year, you're going to see Davis. You're going to see that leap from rookie to sophomore player. You're going to see him really, all that athleticism and study and those snaps and experience is going to pay off, and you're going to see some serious growth. I think you'll see this line come together as well, the offensive line, and you're going to get another set of free agency and draft picks for Quinn to plug some of the holes and build even more depth, which is something we never had before on this team. This is going to be a good year. Look, I would love to say Super Bowl, but that's crazy talk right now, right? But I think this team can certainly win a playoff game, and if that's where we end up at the end of the year, I think that's a great progression. And I think that sets us up really, really well for 2018.
I think it's a positive seeing that the Vikings may be in the playoffs, because I think that can be the playoff win, to be honest. So I think that you're right on the spot there with a playoff win this year. As long as we can get there, we should get there, but as long as we get there, I think it's as positive as it can be at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think one thing that is different between Tahir Whitehead last year and Jared Davis this year is that Davis, although he hasn't been spectacular in coverage, he's been better than Tahir Whitehead. And also we're getting a lot of help over the middle because Quandre Diggs is having a great year. He laid some licks today, and that guy covering the underneath routes has really helped us from last year we were getting gashed by tight ends. And that's not exactly happening this year, which is nice to see. So I think we've taken a step ahead from last year, but that's a lot of that's to do with how we're scheming, how Quandre Diggs is playing. And I'd look for Jared Davis to make a big jump next year and be a good coverage linebacker.
Yeah, exactly. We can have a complete linebacking crew.
Yep, for sure. All right. Hey, man, we're going to go, but I just want a quick plug. Ultimate Lions, check him out. He's on Twitter at Ultimate Lions. He's a great guy. He brings a lot of good stuff to the community and does a lot of chatting back and forth. And thanks a lot for calling, man. We'll see if we can get some other people to get you a follow and check out the great stuff he put out there.
Awesome, thanks, guys.
All right, thanks, bud. All right, we're going to put up the phone number again, 248-782-8384, 248-782-8384. And if you want to do it via Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast. I would be remiss if I didn't mention our good friends at Fanatics. You know the holidays are coming. You know you got a winning team. You know, if you don't have a jersey by the time this team's in the playoffs, you're really going to feel bad. And you can't just have a new one that's still all like got the press folds and all that stuff into the creases. You got to get it worn. You got to get a little dirt on it. I mean, and for you wear it at Thanksgiving, get a little maybe stuffing down the front, whatever. But you got to get your Lions gear. Best way, you guys know, you heard it, but you just haven't done it yet. Head on over to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Click on that shop link. You'll see Get Your Lions Gear, and it'll take you to Fanatics. And they give us a kickback for everything you buy. So, again, it's just one click. No funny pop-ups. Takes you right to the site, but it passes this little special cookie deal. And they know you got there as you know a referral from us, and they give us credit for all that. So any kind of official Lions gear, Wings gear, Michigan State, it's collegiate, it's any sport. You like the Pistons, you like the, you know, what doesn't matter. It's all there. Just go there from the DetroitLionsPodcast.com website, click on the shop link, and then get your Lions gear, and it'll take you over there, and they will give us credit. So check that out. All right. We will take your calls again, 248-782-8384, 248-782-8384, or via Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast, and that is all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast. So as we're looking for our next call here, Trev, what else did you see out there? What stands out about what you saw today and what or what it may translate into in this upcoming game against the Vikings?
Well, one thing I think that's interesting is we've talked a lot about the defense. On offense, we've seen a little bit of shift with Kenny Golladay coming back. It opens up our downfield routes a little bit better. But we also see this issue where we have all these playmakers and one or two of them gets featured in a game and the other one kind of goes silent. So we did not have a big day from Golden Tate today, but that's because he didn't need to have a great game. He was covered up and we were throwing on the ball to Marvin Jones. TJ Jones had another great game. Kenny Golladay had a few big catches. And even I think Eric Ebron might've had his best game this season that I've seen from him. So it was encouraging to see that when one of our guys kind of goes, gets covered up or goes quiet, then we have enough other weapons out there to spread it around.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, so we're going to open up one last time here for calls. If we don't get anybody to join in, then we're going to go ahead and break down the show for today and end this post-game show. Again, 248-782-8384. 248-782-8384 if you want to slip one in, or just hit us up at Detroit Lions Podcast via the Skyperator. And good stuff there. Okay, so I look at the Lions today. I say this is a team that played down to their opponent's level again. It's a team that has real problems running. It has problems with the front seven on defense, and it has problems really being able to put the gas pedal down. They play two quarters every game, and they seem to take two quarters off. And they're not going to be long-term successful. You know, they're not going to be successful long-term. That's how they're going to play the game. So we just need to see these guys string quarters of good play together. They're going to get losses. You're going to lose to teams that you don't expect to lose to. You're going to beat teams you don't expect to beat. But these guys just have to get it together and start stringing some good games together and some good plays together.
Yeah, I think right now we're looking at a team that's built very heavily from the outside in, where we have a great secondary. We have one of the best secondaries in the league. And that's crazy to say as a Lions fan who remembers not more than 5 years ago being the laughing stock of the league. It's the same thing throughout Lions history. Like we've always had a crap secondary and we've always had crap quarterbacks and for the most part. And now we have a great quarterback and great receivers and great skill players. And our defensive line is weak and our offensive line is pretty weak. We're not built super well, or we're not operating super well in the trenches. And that is something we should look to in the next draft, in the next offseason, to see what Bob Quinn does with that. But I, like you said, if we end up making it to the playoffs, And it's a team that can win a game in the playoffs, but to have a team that's good enough to make it to the Super Bowl, we need some help in those trenches, because we're not going to win games without them. We're not gonna be able to control the score. We're not going to be able to block for Stafford. So that's the biggest weakness I see. And that's definitely something we want to look to in the next offseason. And hopefully, I mean, what I would assume is that we're going to go defensive line and or defensive end in the first round of the draft. And everyone, or a lot of people, think we need a running back. But to be honest, we need some beef on that defensive line, or we're going to be in trouble.
Always looking for the beef, right, Trev? Yeah, no,
it's better than the lean cuts we got in there now.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no. I would look for a running back too. I think we don't have that. I don't think Washington's the guy. I don't think Zenner's the guy for the power back role. We need a guy who can run through people, who can blast through the tackles and get 2 yards when it's third and two. We just don't have that. And you know, if you look at our third down conversion rate, if I remember right, it's higher on third and eight and over than it is in third and three and under.
And that does not surprise me in the slightest.
It's ridiculous. It should not be like that. I mean, yeah, it's just bad. So,
well, I remember when we had kind of like, I like 2014 was epic defensive line play for us. But even since then, we've had one guy that we can, that you can look to, and he puts the offensive line on a clock, and he's going to get to the quarterback in a certain amount of time, and he's good for a few sacks a game. And I know Hyder's hurt and Ziggy's hurt, but we, right now, as of today, we don't have a premier pass rusher, and that's something we sorely miss. I think if Ziggy would have been like 2014 Ziggy in there, I think we would have come down with 4 or 5 sacks today. But if we give quarterbacks time to dance around back there, they're going to carve us up.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So let's talk about what we need. We need better blocking
and acid.
We need better running. We need a better front seven on defense, better linebacker play. Sam Martin was great. But you know what's funny?
We got
funny?
Special teams on lock.
Yeah. Well, now Agnew's hurt. That could change. But no. I mean, you say that, and I say that tongue in cheek, because you're looking at every team the same way. No one is perfect, and that's the part of a league and a salary cap league that makes it so interesting. The long term teams that do so well. You look at your Patriots, for example. They're probably the biggest, longest dynasty in the NFL. And why is that? Well, you've got an owner and a GM and a quarterback that are in lockstep together, and they have a system that works. For Tom Brady and the Patriots to win Super Bowls with completely different players other than those guys tells you that they've got a system that works, and they've got players that fit that system appropriately. I'm not going to tell you that, you know, Tom Brady's no good or he's a system quarterback or anything like that, because he does a lot and brings a hell of a lot to the game and understands their offense and their scheme at a level that most other quarterbacks wouldn't, especially over the long haul. But that's what it takes. And, you know, I look at Bob Quinn. I feel like he's the right guy for that role. I look at Caldwell, and I don't know. I don't know. He is a paradox to me. And then the other side of it is, you know, I look at Stafford, and he's obviously and absolutely the right quarterback to fill that role. So it's hard. This is one of those things, and I don't know if I have a good analogy for it. But you're looking at Caldwell and you're saying, oh, he's good, but is he get you
great.
There good, right? Is he going to get you to the big game and the big show, and is he going to win that game? I don't know. That's the and until he does, I'll probably say I don't know. But well, what else is out there? Who else is out there that can do it for you?
Yeah, people keep suggesting Gruden, and let me just squish that right now. No. if we have Gruden as our coach, it'll drive me insane. That dude is so doofy. That dude is so doofy that it would just drive me nuts.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, but I think another point that you made, like, about the Patriots is that they can take players and coach them up. They could take our defensive line and probably make them a great defensive line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
but there's also a thing. Like I definitely believe in our defensive coaching, and I think that for us it's more of a talent thing. I think Chris Kocurek, our defensive line coach, and Terrell Austin, they can put together an amazing defensive line because we've seen them do it. Right now we're just hurt for talent, and I think. Part of it, I wouldn't say it's like coming into the season. I would say that I was looking for us to pick up a good defensive lineman or defensive end. But I thought, you know, there's some more pressing needs on the offensive line and linebacker. We could probably put it out a season, and we did. And then now we've got three injuries up front, and it really shows how thin we were there.
Yep.
So I think. The Ziggy Ansah era might be coming to an end, depending on what happens with free agency. Haloti's getting older. I think I would look to this season as the season that, like, Bob Quinn has so far like put his injected talent into a couple of key position groups every year he's been there, and he's concentrated on it. He doesn't try to spread out his picks. He picked up two linebackers in the draft last year. And a cornerback. So he was clearly looking at the middle of our defense there. He really concentrated on the offensive line at one point. I would look for this season for him to spend at least two draft picks and maybe find a defensive lineman in free agency.
Yeah. There's no question about it. And I say, Martin Mayhew, he's missed on so many picks, and every year, it seemed like in the last 4 years of his tenure, it was always someone got injured was the excuse that we were no good there. And it was always about injury. And injuries happen. We know that. And you hate that happens. But it was really, there was no depth. And if you look at the team, you look at the injuries we've had this year across our offensive line. I mean, especially this year, when you're looking at teams that didn't invest in their offensive line and they're getting destroyed, right? They just can't compete. The defensive players have gotten so much more athletic that if you don't have elite quality players on your offensive line, you're going to be in deep doo-doo. And the teams are like that, and we've been able to survive those injuries. There's a certain, there's a certain amount of the less sexy stuff that you're getting out of Quinn in building that depth as well as building the players out. He's building a whole team. Mayhew always went for that home run. And we're getting all kinds of base hits and doubles out of Quinn the way he's building the team. And I think that's the long-term winning strategy. You can't just swing for the fences every time because you're just going to strike out.
Yeah, and we have depth on the defensive line. You can see it. They're playing every week now. Yeah. our starters right now are our depth.
Yeah.
But the guys that are in there now, Washington, Akeem Spence, some of those guys are meant to be rotational guys, and they would do fine in that capacity. But I think shouldering a starting load is a little too much for them at this point.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Hey, we got a caller. Caller, what's your name?
Hey, Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is Brandon from Missouri. How you doing?
Hey, Brandon. How you doing, my man? Welcome to the show.
Well, I thought I'd take a shot and try and call in before you guys close up shop and, just give you a few of my thoughts.
Yeah, for sure.
First of all, what team have you guys ever seen that has actually won two games back to get back that will allow 200 yards rushing each game? I mean, I am just jaw-dropped about this. I can't believe they actually won this, and especially in Chicago.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like both those games were mirror images of each other's. Rookie quarterbacks that are mobile, with a fairly decent line, a good defense, and gave the Lions all kinds of problems and just about pulled that sucker out with the exception of probably rookie mistakes.
Yeah.
And that is what you got to put that up to, although Trubisky just about got her done, but there were so many throws he missed, man. He had wide open guys, and he just blew it.
Yep, Biscuit is going to be a good quarterback in this league. And he's surrounded by good players when they're healthy on that team. Chicago is a sleeper, long-term good team. I worry about what the next couple of years hold in this Lions Bears kind of rivalry. And maybe I'm wrong. I'm reading too much into the Rodgers injury and everything else, but I feel like the Packers are a team on decline, and they're going to regress to the mean they've had two Hall of Fame quarterbacks in a row. Hundley is their destiny, right? That's just what's going to happen.
Did they even score a touchdown against the Ravens? I've seen it was 23-0 late in the fourth.
They were shut out completely today. They didn't even get a kick.
Oh my goodness, even in Green Bay. Wow.
Yep. So that
I've already seen some Packer fans calling for Mike McCarthy's head.
Yep. Yeah, and they're going to get a churn there. You know, one of the things that they had that kept them good for so long is they kept their talent in-house and grew. They didn't play big in free agency. They didn't, you know, they drafted and grew their people and built their people. They're going to have a house cleaning, and that's not going to last for them. It's going to be a complete change to the organization, and you're going to see them kind of fall apart before they can kind of put the pieces back together again, and they've got to find the right pieces. It's going to be – I just see them as a team on the decline in the next – you know, decade of Packers dumb. It's going to be great for a Lions fan to watch. But the Bears, on the other hand, I see the opposite. I see that as a team that is very quietly, if it weren't for injuries, they'd be competitive as hell today.
Yeah. Here's an interesting thought for the time coming up. First of all, after the last two games, I don't know what the deal was with the way the Lions, maybe it's the wrong injuries at the wrong places, like with Nicolodi Nata. And maybe one other here that causes run defense to get so gashed. But come Thursday with the Vikings, man, the way they're playing, I'm shocked that Vegas has given it an even game. They have not. I thought for sure the Lions would be underdogs. But if they have that kind of respect for the Lions team at home, and the Vikings may not play that well on the road. We don't know. We'll have to see. But I was watching the Viking games on the side on my phone, and Keenan was getting out of so many scrapes. It was unbelievable. And then they just finally took control. The Rams just couldn't get the offense going like they really needed to. But it's going to be one barn burner of a game. I just wish the Rams would have beat them, because that would have been for the NFC North title right there, for the lead. Not title, but for the lead. Now it's just we got to gain a game behind on them and not let them get it down. It still comes down to this, though. They've got three more now on the road, very tough teams to play. And it's a must-win for the Lions, but they've got two more games that they've got to win. And if they just lose one of them and the Lions keep winning, eventually we'll wind up on top of the division anyway.
Yeah.
But it just didn't turn out the way I hoped this time. But boy, it's a must win this week, no matter what.
Yep.
No matter what, guys.
We can't split the series with them. That's the way things look. No. Now, and you're right. They're playing against some tough teams who are really good teams. And we've got after the Vikings, we've got a pretty soft schedule for the rest of the year. Particularly, and the only game that I think that I look at and say, wow, that's going to be a tough one is Green Bay, and that's in Detroit. And if they're out of it, they're not going to bring Rodgers back. That one could be a nice game for us as well. We've got a really soft. It's all losing. They have losing records right now. All the teams we play for the rest of the season, other than the Vikings. This game, we win this game, and they go off, and they're in the opposite. Right? They're playing Atlanta. They're playing the Panthers. I have a sense that they're just going to get ripped on the road and while they're playing. So we just have to do our work. We have to do the piece that's important to us. And part of that is this Thursday, we have to beat the Vikings. This is typical Lions. When we get into this position and we have control, we fumble it. Right. This is a team that when we played Green Bay last year, right? It was in our hands. All we had to do was win, and then they ran the table, right? We need to take a hold of this game. This is a statement game for the Detroit Lions. And if they don't take this game, they're going to be wobbly legs the rest of the season. And whether they get in as a wild card or not, it's just a whole different season. This is the game that matters the most, I think.
You know what's really weird? It may come down to the point, doesn't matter if we're wild card or win the division. I just got a sick feeling that we're going to meet the Vikings again in the playoffs if that happens. either there or here, one way or another. You know how it is about trying to beat a team three times in a row in one season. I don't know if that will happen, but somewhere, somehow, somebody's got to beat somebody else, man. Yeah. And so we don't worry about them anymore.
we have
to get out here, guys. Take care.
All right. Thanks a lot, Brandon. Appreciate it, man.
We had this interesting stat from today that this is with the win on the road today, the Lions have swept the division on the road in one season for the first time in franchise history, I think. We've never done that. Even back when we were in the 50s, when we were actually good.
I thought we had done it in 1961, but I didn't look at it. But it's been, I mean, effectively, we've never done it. We've never done it, right?
Yeah, we're dumping more skeletons out of the closet.
And, you know, this is going to date me, and I date myself often, but because I'm so sexy, I guess. But, you know, I think back to when Tampa was in our division, and they sucked. They were the first 0-for team until we took 0-for-16, right? They would always steal a game from us every year. We were the one team that got them the one year to prevent the one win to prevent them from having a winless year. So many times they stunk, mm-hmm. and we would lose to them. It was just drove me nuts. So for us to take all those road games, it's a big deal. It's a really, really big deal.
Another thing the caller mentioned is that he said he couldn't believe that we have won two games in a row where we've let up over 200 yards on the ground. It's going to be three in a row. I'm just going to say that now. Next week, or it's probably hardly the next, it's this week. It's on Thursday. I would expect us to give up over 200 yards on the ground to the Vikings. And we can't play conservative. We have to throw the ball and throw it well, because if we don't, then they're going to run it down our throats. We're going to have to outscore them.
Yeah. No. Interestingly, you always have to, in the game of football, outscore your opponent in order to win. But I get what you're saying.
We're to outscore their offense. We can't rely, on our defense for two touchdowns.
I didn't mean to be like that. I'm sorry.
That's cool.
All right. I think we're going to wrap it up here. Good show. Thanks so much, Trev, for joining and filling in. Case coming back today from the Keys. He was down in Key West in Florida, had some key lime pies. Got a picture of it in a terrible shirt with a cigar. I'll put that on the site where we post the podcast. It's hilarious. He doesn't have his pants on.
It's going to the
sidebar. I'll get it to you. Don't worry about it. All right. Remember, we're looking for your involvement in the show. Use your comments in the subreddit to give us feedback. That's DetroitLions.reddit.com. All kinds of great Lions content and interaction and a really awesome community there. And, you know, let us know what you think of the show, what we're doing well, what we're not. And we use that to make the show better. And make the show about you guys, because it's a community show. All right. Also, don't forget about us on Patreon. Get your access to that extra super cool content we're putting out every week. It's patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast, or go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com and click on the Patreon link on the homepage there. And even as little as donating $1 a month via Patreon gets you access to all that extra content we build. And sometimes it's silly, sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's, you know, more data driven, serious stuff or thinking, but it's always something extra for the folks that help us out and give us that extra cash to help fund all the bandwidth this thing takes and all the other stuff and fees that goes with it. So thank you all for being a part of it. And like I said, go ahead and hook yourself up on Patreon and help us out if you get a chance. Make sure also to check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, and on the Twitter machine at @DETLionsPodcast. That's @DETLionsPodcast, the very, very best place to see Trev
throwing my pants out the window in a fit of passion.
Woo! Yeah! Love that. Also, don't forget about the shop link. It's the holiday season. It's time where everyone buys. You're buying all that stuff for all those other people. Don't forget about us. It's a little treat when you use that shop link. They give us a kickback. Never costs you any more. Do it at Amazon, Fanatics, SeatGeek. I just picked myself up tickets for the Buccaneers game. I got a plus one, and the guy from the subreddit named Wings Fan, he's going to be there with me, and we're thinking of getting everybody together, maybe doing a tailgate together and having some fun out ahead of the game. So make sure you hit me on Twitter or in the subreddit, and we'll get that all coordinated and put together. But SeatGeek is where I got my tickets. They're awesome. Second row behind the Lions bench. I got to pick my seats. I can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun. So when they're showing Stafford celebrating the sideline, look for me. I'm the guy with the Stafford jersey screaming, sign this, sign this, sign this. All right. Make sure to give us a call and share your thoughts on the Lions line. 929-33-LIONS. It's 929-33-LIONS. Or give us a call on Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast. All one word, Detroit Lions Podcast. We'll take that message. We'll put it on the weekly show. And you can hear it starting on Wednesday ahead of the Vikings game. Lastly, don't forget about DetroitLionsPodcast.com. There's great content. There's awesome articles, 1, 2, 3 articles a day of really good analysis and breakdown of the Lions and their games and what's going on with the team and the personnel. It's top quality stuff. So make sure you go there. DetroitLionsPodcast.com. It's the kind of stuff that makes your toes tingle. And while those things are tingling, subscribe to the podcast so we can come inside your little box automatically. Thank you for tuning in, and we're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast. It's your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Let's bring it in here together. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go, baby. Lions on 3. 1, 2, 3. Lions!